Thanks for listening to
Support
KYUK
for Talkline is provided by Vitus Terminals, a local crew happy to fuel you. More information at BethelFuel.com.
Talkline is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during Talkline may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Express yourself.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everyone. It's February 26th, and it's another edition of Talkline, the radio show driven by you, the caller, with your ideas, points of view. I'm Diane McGachran, and we are ready to take your calls. The numbers are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954. You can also email us at radio@kyuk.org, and we're going to go ahead to our first caller, is Rhonda. Welcome to the show, Rhonda.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Rhonda. Sergeant.
I hope I'm coming through okay.
Yes, you are. You're on the air.
Oh, good. Well, wanted to start this fun Friday off with a little 4-H news.
Okay, welcome. Bring it.
Well, 4-H has been going strong once we adapted to COVID life, and we have a great new semester starting and wanted to let everybody know how to find out what we're doing. We're on lots of social media. We're on Facebook, on Instagram. We have our website at alaska4h.org. And you can also call the center. The phone number is still the same, 543-2088. And we have a new email address. It's uaf-bethel4h@alaska.edu. And some of the events that we have this semester are Camp Invention, which is a science club. Statewide, there's an art club called Open Heart Club. And they're doing art from leaders, youth leaders from around the state. And at our center, we're participating in a test project that's called Create Art Now that will become a 4-H curriculum when this project is done. And we have a new club coming up that starts in March that's Drumbeat of the Tundra, where we'll be learning about percussion and drumming and all kinds of fun music stuff.
Okay.
And this afternoon we have a Clover Club. Sorry, I'm tripping over my words. That's for kindergarten through second grade. That's by Zoom Room. And we meet and chat, and today we're making hot cocoa. We
nice.
Also have been still doing our meal distribution. So on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for families that have children, there's a meal distribution at the 4-H clubhouse. There's Friday Myers Farm fresh food boxes that can be picked up. And we always want kids to read, so we want to make sure that everybody knows that the library has some open hours and appointments. And that is all going to be posted on our newsletter that's going out today.
So with a teacup.
And it'll be on all those platforms that I mentioned.
Hey, that sounds wonderful. What a great lineup. Anything else?
Well, if anybody, any youth want to be part of any of these clubs, and any adults that have any ideas that want to get started, like we had some adults that were interested in skiing, so there's a new ski club and checkout system that's being developed right now. So if you have an idea, go come and see us, and we can get you started on it.
Okay. That sounds awesome. All right. Thank you, Rhonda.
Hope everyone has a fun, safe Friday. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Have a good weekend. Okay. Bye. Thank you. We're going to go to John Nick from Bethel. Good morning, John.
Hey, I was the first caller, but nobody would answer.
Okay.
How you doing, Dad?
Oh, I'm good.
Else, I hope everything's okay. I have a question here that's been bothering me for a while. Maybe somebody can answer that. You know, you heard about the caribou season being close?
Yes.
Well, I've been hearing rumor that there's some kind of virus within the caribou, a bug. That's how come they close. And yet I hear another thing that the count was low. So...
Oh, I think...
It's controversial right now. I don't know if Fish and Game did a biology check on one of the caribou or just rumor. Because if it's just rumor, you're letting all these healthy caribou go and they're closing for, you know, on a count that could be the, like they were saying, the count, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or the virus. Let us know exactly what's going on. Besides listening to rumors, you know?
Yes.
It's a lot better when you get the facts rather than the hearsay. You know, people get leery about those kind of things.
Yeah, I think there's a story on KYUK. If you go to the website, there's more information on the condition of the herd, but I don't see it on the front page, but
yeah,
you have to scroll down.
I didn't hear nothing about no bug or anything like that. Could be a rumor. Anyway, boys, another thing, ONC, they were giving out the last of their benefits for the food coupons, and they also were giving out sleds. All you had to do was request one. So I want the ONC members to know that you can request a sled for a freight, moose, or whatever, and I heard the locals made that for the people, so... All you have to do is request one when you call ONC, and they'll fix it up and bring it over to you.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be helpful. A lot of people use them for getting wood, going out hunting, going traveling, you know what I mean? Taking survival gear and all that.
Yeah.
And there are vast amounts of money involved, and they cost a lot of money to get one of them things, what, $700, something like that. But... ONC was giving them out. All you have to do is request one and give them your enrollment number and your name, and then you'd like to request a sled and take it from there. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, boy, it's a nice day. Kind of whiteout conditions, like everything looks the same when you're walking. You know, be careful when you're out there snow machine because... It's really easy to have an accident. You could hit a little bump, and you can come flying out of there because you couldn't see it, you know.
Yeah, because the ground and the sky kind of come together.
Yeah, it's all blended in together. So, you know, be careful when you're riding out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to go fast, use a designated trail where you can see the trail.
Yes.
Don't go adventurous, go on high speed in any old place because you might do a little flying there.
Yeah.
Might get hurt.
That's right.
And I don't want nobody getting hurt or killed around there. But anyway, boy, everybody have a good, safe weekend. Please don't drink and drive. And something else comes up, I'll jump right in it.
Okay, good, John. Well, good.
Well,
thank you.
Talk me into that. When you were, I said I'm going to retire. Better not.
Not yet. No, I appreciate you starting our show off every Friday.
I enjoy it because
yeah.
It gets the people going.
Mm-hmm.
If I can do this, anybody can do it.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
That's my prerogative.
Okay, good.
Don't be afraid. Nobody can retaliate. Nobody can be against you. Don't be embarrassed.
And they can be anonymous
be
if they
who
want.
You are.
Yeah.
Voice it.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Everyone, please be safe. Don't drink and drive. Watch your driving conditions, and the roads are slippery. Please don't be driving really fast with pedestrians, because I've slipped even by walking.
Mm-hmm.
So please be careful, everyone. So
that's
everyone,
right.
Please have a good weekend. You too, Dan.
All right, thank you, John.
Yeah, Guyana.
Guyana. Okay, we're going to go to Stacy from the Fitness Center. Good morning, Stacy.
Hey, Diane. How's it going?
All right. How are you?
I am very excited to announce that for vaccinated adults. We are going to be opening up the fitness center starting Monday.
You know what? I was just talking to a friend of mine saying, if we show our vaccination card, couldn't we all go in?
And that's exactly what it's going to be, Diane. Anybody, you have to be that 14 days out from that second shot.
Yep.
But bring your vaccination card and your photo ID, just because we got to make sure.
Yep.
And we will have the facility open for exercise activities only. So we are going to have to limit it to exercise, no hanging out, no just sitting around. But if you've got your
you have to go there and work out.
You got to come in and work out. We will have the locker rooms open, so you can shower and everything after your workout.
Okay.
But we do want to keep it safe, minimize the social interactions. So we do still need masking and social distancing.
Okay.
We will have some capacity limits. But we're super excited to be able to get the doors open and get at least a limited number of our individuals here in town back into the facility.
And does that include the pool and hot tub?
That does include the pool and hot tub.
Oh,
we do have to require
yes.
masks in the hot tub. And we do have a very strict limit.
Wear your soggy mask.
People. Yeah. Well, don't get your mask wet.
That's
bring
right.
a little baggie to put it next to the pool while you're swimming, and then you know, put it on between the pool and the hot tub, and then keep it on in the hot tub for us.
Cool.
But
okay.
we've got lots of information going up on our website right now. We're updating it throughout the day. We'll have all of our information, including our schedule. We are going to be open Monday through Saturday. We're going to have a couple of closures throughout the day so that we have some time to clean and make sure that everything is in good order, and we'll be closed on Sundays.
Oh, okay. Oh, closed on Sundays. Okay.
Closed on Sundays, yep.
Gotcha. All right.
Definitely check our schedule once we get all that posted so you know you don't come during one of our cleaning hours if you're, you know, dead set on being in the fitness room or in the
okay.
pool. But we're excited to be getting to open. We wish we could be open for everybody, but for right now it's just going to be for those adults that are fully vaccinated.
And what time on Monday does it open?
5:30 a.m.
Oh, that's exactly the time I like to come in. Just kidding. I'm not coming in at 5:30. But you do have people that like to come in at 5:30.
We absolutely do. We've got lots of folks that come in before work. It's a great way to start
right.
your day.
Right. I know it is. I'll bet it is. That's what I hear.
And we'll start having some of our group fitness classes shortly as well.
Oh, good, good. There's a couple of those I want to check out. Okay. Well, this is wonderful news. I think a lot of people will be really happy about it. Thank you so much for
calling
in. Absolutely.
So visit our website, ykfitness.org. We'll have lots of information coming up throughout the day and throughout the weekend.
Okay.
All right.
Nice. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. All right. Okay, everyone. Well, the fitness center is starting to come back online, and there's the pool, there's the hot tub, showers, locker room, and probably the bicycles, stationary bikes, weight room. We're going to go to Stephen Alexi from Neboskiak. Hello, Stephen. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning. I have a couple of issues that I want to discuss. First of all, you know, we're pretty much nearing summer.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue of conservation schemes has been in the forefront for the past decade or so. And a couple of talk shows ago on UPIC talk show, Mr. James from Tuntutuliak had reported that he got litter from, I believe, Fishing Game, projecting the outlook to be grim again for the king salmon. And it's time to start discussing how and what we're going to do for that period. As Mike Williams yesterday had discussed that the Kuskokwim River Tribal Fish Commission was formed on behalf of 33 tribes. Now I know with that being said, the Kuskokwim Tribal Fish Commission can try to get into some kind of working agreement or a contract, and you know, with the Fish and Wildlife who has been taking over our management for the past maybe 5 years or so, to work in conjunction with that fish commission, even the state of Alaska Fish and Game, We need to make a plan now instead of waiting for the last minute, and we'll start, worrying about it in the last minute. We need the tribes need to start being proactive. With that being said, YKHC had issued a position being against regional tribal government. And, you know, the YKHC was established on behalf of these 58 tribes who has the authority. And under AVCP, and before even AVCP became AVCP, the native tribes have established such governments without disseminating or losing their status quo as a sovereign tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Tribes will never lose their power to any, and that's where I think YKHC board made a mistake on taking a position without consulting their respective tribes and unit.
I see.
And, you know, it's kind of, you know, disheartening to see them take a position in a very matter that our region has been talking about for the past 40 years. Our region is an unorganized, under the state of Alaska, unorganized borough. And if the state and whoever, you know, decides what part of the region decides to form a government such as Northwest Arctic Borough has under state guidelines, rules, regulations, they're going to have a hard time dissolving whatever kind of state-chartered, organization or whatever they make. As for this regional government, you know, if it is ever formed, YKHC, from my point, will never disappear. It's always going to be like our health corporation, health, just as in any form of government, like the state of Alaska has Department of Health and Social Services, Department of Transportation, you know, all these arms of the government. These organizations that were brought up by these tribes, from my point, will be like the health services for YK. AVCP will be a social part. Youth will be the education. Kuskokwim Fish Commission will be natural resources. Those are just what I envision of our region. And with the borough, they're able to tax any. If they tax our region, they'll have the power to do so, you know, and tax whatever they want to, like even property. And Chalista Corporation is just on the sidelines trying to help out. The same people that are under Chalista Corporation are with the same people that are under the tribes. You know, we have a unique situation where tribal members are, you know, members of this village and Chalista Corporation, which like a regional, and the same with the village corporations. And this discussion needs to be furthered, and probably not just one discussion, many discussions, those for it and those against it need to be on the table. And that's the only way I think we can ever move forward. All right, my 5 minutes are probably up. Good morning.
Yes, bye. Thank you, Stephen. In this week's Delta Discovery, Gloria Simeon gives an overview of tribal leadership and the right to govern ourselves is inherent, is what she writes. And it's a good overview, interesting point of view. So we're going to go to Manny from ABDC, which is the Free Tax Help People, I believe. Manny, welcome to Talkline.
Yes. Hello. Oh. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for waiting.
Of course. So I wanted to call in because we had to abruptly end our travel out to your region last year, and we wanted to put the word out that we're still helping this year. It is all via mail, so it's mail-in, and you can get all the information on our website. And if you didn't get your tax return prepared by us last year and you still need help with that, we're also able to help with 2019 as well. So we're able to help with prior years.
Okay. Okay, that's great. All right. And how to say that again, how people can contact you or get those services?
They can go to our website. We've got forms we'll need them to fill out, so don't just send us in your documents without nothing. We've got some forms to fill out. They're on our website.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can call our office. So our website is abdc.org.
Okay.
And our office phone is 907-562-0335. And we actually did send out a packet to the communities and to all the people that we did prepare tax returns for last year. So you may have gotten one in the mail. If you didn't, though, give us a call or reach out to us through our website, and we'll try and get that taken care of for you. But, yeah, we're still helping. Even though we can't travel this year, we're still running full force. And as soon as we get your package in the mail, we're trying to give you a call. And, you know, it's not just like your tax return gets magically prepared and you don't hear from anybody. We're trying to reach out to people and keep in contact. So.
Hmm. Okay, good. What a great service. Thank you so much for all, and it's been going on for years in person, and thank you for creating a way to still do it, even though you guys can't travel out.
Oh, yeah, no, it's awesome, and we're so glad we can help everybody out there. So, yeah, and again, the website is abdc.org, and the phone number is 907-562-0335, and we're helping via mail.
Okay, thank you. All right, awesome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Now, Grady, somebody has texted me that they are trying to call 543-5985, and it just rings and rings and rings. Do you know why that is?
That last caller was on that line, and when a caller calls into a line where a caller's on, it doesn't get a busy signal. Instead, it rings and rings and rings and rings, which is why callers should call all the numbers. 543-5985, 543-2756, or alternatively toll-free, 1-800-995-8954. And if it rings and rings and rings, try another number.
Okay, so that's what happens when you call and somebody's already using that line to be on the show. Okay, great. All right, so we've had a number of calls already, and it looks like we have another caller that Grady is helping out. This is Chico. I think it's Chico.
Yes.
Hello, Chico.
Good morning to all from people of Chivec. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Okay, nice. It's always nice to hear our friendly good morning from Chivac. So we're going to go to Mary Paltola. Good morning, Mary. You made it.
Hey,
oh.
Diane. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling in. I understand Steve and Alexi called in, and I'm thankful people are thinking about fishing. I know Fritz Charles and Yvonne Waska have both called in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to give a little update. I work for the Fish Commission, and the full name is the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission. We represent 33 tribes, all the tribes on the Cusco, and we weren't really created by Fish and Wildlife. The tribes came together and kind of created themselves, but the in-season managers, they're four different people. They're commissioners appointed by their own tribes from four parts of the river. And they advise Fish and Wildlife on Chinook fishing and reds and chums when they're all in the river together. They advise the refuge on, you know, potential openings and, you know, trying to get to the escapement number of, usually it's about 110,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that was easy when we had a total run of like 200 or 300 or 400,000 Chinook. But now, you know, Fish and Game's preliminary forecast is, you know, at the low end, maybe 90,000, and at the high end, let's see, I'm looking on at this piece of paper here for the numbers, but
that's their estimate for this year.
Yeah, the forecast for this year is you know on the low side. So, but what Fish and Wildlife and the Fish Commission, and we're still early in the preseason kind of planning, but because of federal protections of fish and wildlife for rural people, there has to be a component of traditional and customary use of subsistence. So even in years where the forecast is low and possibly even lower than our escapement goal, there has to be some, even if it's a tacit allowance of customary and traditional harvest. And like last year, I mean, it was probably one-fourth of what we used to harvest. That 85,500 used to be our average. And the last, you know, 10 years, it's been averaging around 20 to 40,000. And they're also like 20 pounds on average smaller Chinook salmon. So we're definitely sacrificing. We are definitely sacrificing. But at least on the river, there's really no one else. On our river, there's not much commercial harvest, and there's almost no sport harvest. So, you know, it does, unfortunately, fall on us. But the cool thing about this Fish Commission is the in-season managers have been able to use traditional knowledge to help manage in-season. And this allowed, like, 18 hours more harvest of Chinook in 2018, which helped a little bit.
Are you able to give, like, an example of that, the traditional knowledge piece that was used?
Yeah, so in 2018, there was a lot of concern over not making the escapement, but traditional knowledge holders felt like it was a late run. And Western science doesn't have any index to show run timing. But James Nicorai, looking, his fish camp is right below the Queefook Y, and the traditional knowledge that he learned from his uncle is when the catches are on the side of the river that keeps going up, that's the front half of the run. But when the catches are mostly on the Kuskokwak Slough side, that's about the second half of the run because those are going to right-hand side tributaries. And that turned out to be accurate. 2018, we had the best, you know, the closest we've ever come to almost like a precision escapement. It was like 108,000 for escapement when the goal was like 110,000. And these are all, of course, estimates.
Right, but pretty good.
Yeah, but James Nicorai said, I think that you, when you get the weird numbers and all of your estimates at the end of the season, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised, even if you allow a 12-hour opening and a 6-hour opening still. And he was right.
Okay, that's so interesting. I really like that.
Yeah, and they're also great at giving us a more accurate forecast. They go by migratory birds rather than prior year run. Right now, Fish and Game's forecast is based just on one prior year, like a sibling kind of estimate.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, we're working with the refuge on a management strategy, and then we'll be working on a more detailed harvest strategy. And the hope is, you know, to provide some sense of what dates they're going to, you know, have 12-hour openings announced ahead of time so people can plan. And this year, the 12th, we usually always fish on the 12th right after that front enclosure. And this year it's on a Saturday, which is good for folks who work 9-to-5 jobs on weekdays. And then usually the fish commissioners try to announce at least three. And the other weird thing is we really don't have any indexes in season until like June 22nd for if, you know, how the run is shaping up, if it's early and abundant mm-hmm. or late and low.
Mm-hmm.
Usually nobody really has a sense of that even at the lower river until like June 20th.
Right.
And, you know, before restrictions, people were like wrapping up by then.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, gosh, Mary, that's really good to, now we got to start thinking about it now, right?
Yeah. And the Fish Commission's having our annual meeting on Zoom
uh-huh.
on April 7th and 8th. And we're reaching out to tribes right now to make sure we have current names of their tribally appointed commissioners. And on the 8th of April, they'll be electing a new chairperson, new officers, and the four in-season managers.
Mm-hmm.
And those all have to be tribally appointed commissioners. It can't be alternates. And their tribe has to be a member of the Fish Commission, like with an authorizing resolution from their tribe. But anyway, thank you, Diane.
Thank you very much. Thanks for persevering. Getting on.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, we're going to go to, are we taking a break? Oh, we have an anonymous caller, so we'll go ahead and do that before we take our break. Good morning, anonymous. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning. How are you doing?
All right. What's on your mind?
Well, anyways, I'm talking about City of Water and Sewer.
Uh-huh.
I got the coronavirus relief funding from ONC, and they didn't give me water this month. Because, septic was frozen, but it's kind of like it takes time to thaw out the cave. So we need some water because this is a corona relief funding. They received $2,000, and I want my water today.
Oh, okay. Well,
and I hope they're listening because I'm messing around. This corona relief money ain't for you just to bill us for service not received. So I expect to get some water today. Thank you very much. Have an honorable day.
Okay. Thank you. I think we're going to go to a small break, short break. You're listening to Talkline on KYUK, 640 AM.
Nasunritun ka COVID-19 ang kasugnot na sunrilngapt na suluku COVID-19 alrit chali chikiting yugnot sa chugnaluku su na sun asanun chaknak na suyug nalrenun na sunakuk kinkut chaknak na sulhkat kani ko kuihpim kusuk kimsunun nini COVID-19 ak chaknak ahnakuk tamamta ikayutak kaugut COVID-19 am sagtnrit lhkanan. Wai keit siim xoqxway tam maita ila gasqf gnaki nilgut gnrilgput. Changgata ilakluki galu galgit tum makhjilgit bingo alhugilgit guyuk mungtung ngaw natin aga yulgit. COVID-19 algit am lhkhi nakhtugulgatni nunamtni. Ika yuchuk ngawtn nawlunrit lhkanan. Yuchnik ngap ilawit kwallu ilaqlixbit. Gina nilgudn kwallu ilbit COVID-19 nalgaadn nawllu gwvd. Gaya gawchu klinikaag nunafjsni kwallu mamdgiilchmi gaya gawglugu COVID-19 hotline 543-6949. Nallun ghidnach blchid weedout kwani ykc.org. Una gingu nagtuk kwagin. Yukon Kuskokwim Health Corporation.
Ilagakiw kakakak kitfakjikan kayagawilngawdn kanakkank kuvit hwasu apikank kuvit stami ritmi teniyamami.
At YKHC, we remain here for you and your family, especially during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. We are doing everything in our power to prevent these difficult circumstances, but we need your help. If you are experiencing any symptoms of illness, you should immediately isolate yourself from others and contact YKHC for testing. In Bethel, call 543-6949 or arrive for drive-through testing on Monday through Friday from 2 to 5 p.m. If you are in a village, call your local clinic. Everyone must do all they can every day to stop the transmission of this illness. This includes testing and isolating yourself when you feel even a little bit sick. This message brought to you by the Yukon Kuskokwim Health Corporation.
Khwani khwakwik fim kuskok fim sununi ni changakala COVID-19 ak agnakok. Wai kate sik chaknak. Ugwako kuyukuyut ilagout skfknaki. Yuyalganan ilaksukit agamki ngan fifknaki. Anutil rit ayakatakluting kalukal rit. Gender reveal ukikul rit baby shower al rit. Dumachtil rit bingo tali ashkuril rit. Koyuchtschit, nirvigni nirilgit, agailgit, dungau nating, koyuchtschuting jali samin, nilgut ginrilngut, koyuchtschit, igayuchtschut atamam tanau suun sachtstnirriting nakhkau gabut, unakingu nangchtokhwakin, Yukon Kuskokwim Health Corporation.
Everyone, welcome back. We're going to go right to Mike Williams. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, good morning. Can you hear me good?
I can hear you good.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm on the river.
Okay.
And wonderful article by Gloria Simmering, and we fully support it. I think she's done her homework in this issue, and I think, you know, I think all of our goals are to, you know, unite everybody in the region. And, you know, it depends on our the existence of our life and our public health, our governance, and other issues. So everybody must come together. And we created, you know, YKHC, AVCP, Housing Authority through our resolutions from the tribes, and it should never be undermined at all whatsoever, even with one tribe. You know, I think consensus is the key. But I fully agree with the young men like Stephen Alexi that observe the elders, and I think his observation was very good with his grandpa, my uncle William Lomack, and other elders from Good News Bay, from Twin Hills, from the Yukon, from the coast, Joe Friday and Eddie Hoffman and Joe Chief, and I could go on. But in terms of the issue from the last caller on COVID, I'm serving on NCAI Task Force for COVID, and there is going to be a proposal. There is a proposal for $20 billion for tribes. So if that is passed, then the 56 tribes in this region are going to be receiving that relief. And we need to, my testimony to Congress has been to make it flexible as possible. So, Kasiluk, the Yukon folks, the coastal people, upriver people can shape their COVID relief dollars and spend it the way they want to and to meet their needs. Much of it is water, sewer, you know, and the high bills that we have in the community and subsistence support programs and et cetera. So I think the tribes need to get their comments to Department of Interior and Department of Treasury right away to tell them, make it a flexible program if we receive those additional funds. And I think last one was $8 billion, but it's going to be more, and we calculated about $4 million for ACTIAC. But I think we need to be prepared for that, to wisely spend it for our needs. And I want to thank Mary Peltola, because we've established the 33 tribes on the river to establish the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission. We worked tirelessly without anything when we first started, but now it's established, and we commend the Fish Commission and Mary Peltola for making it forward, and we're becoming autonomous. And we thank AVCP and others, Tanana chiefs, that really supported the process, and their signatory to the MOU that we agreed to. I really thank those folks, and I think with this effort, we can accomplish this to unite our 56 tribes and move forward to improve the quality of health care, to improve the infrastructure needs, to meet the needs that we still live in third world conditions, water, sewer, et cetera. So I'm excited, and thank you for allowing me to make a few comments this morning. Good morning.
Thank you.
Have a nice weekend.
Good morning, and thank you for calling. So glad you did. All right, we're going to go to Carrie in Bethel. Bethel Community Service Foundation, I think, BCS. Carrie?
Hi, Diane.
Hi. Oh, Carrie. Hi.
Hi.
That Carrie.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Yep, it's this Carrie.
This Carrie.
So, couple things. We had very limited amount of the USDA produce boxes this week, so there's not going to be a distribution point in housing. And we'll see what next week looks like. And then one thing I did want to say was that, with these boxes that come in, we all have, you know, a relative in the village, there might be some things in the boxes that we don't use all the time or might end up sitting in the refrigerator. And I'm hoping that if with these amount of excess stuff that come in, instead of getting rid of it, you know, maybe post on Facebook saying, you know, if there's lots of carrots in somebody's refrigerator, you know, put out there that you have excess and that whoever might want it can pick it up or be delivered. I think that was just about it. I'm at a spot right now where I got lost for words, brain age attack.
I think you've accomplished quite a bit so far in your call, Carrie. Do not worry about it.
Okay, thank you. Oh, and then what Mary was talking about,
yes,
about the fish runs, I thought that was very interesting. That was
me too.
It was really good to hear. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that.
Oh,
thank
good.
You.
All right. Thank you, Carrie.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, we're going to go to Janessa from ONC. Good morning, Janessa.
Hey, Diane. Can you hear me?
Yes. I mean, look, this is how we communicate now, through talk line. Janessa.
Yeah, that's how we last communicated.
We can't see each other anymore. All right. Yes. So what do you got for us today?
I just have a short announcement. So I wanted to let all the ONC tribal members know that we're appreciative of your interest in the sleds that we've been distributing. And we wanted to let all the ONC tribal members know that the sleds are currently still being made. And so if you call 907-545-2005 and we do not answer, please give us one full week to return your call. We have been receiving a high volume of calls daily, and we might not be able to answer or return your calls right away due to the many other responsibilities we have. So please leave a voicemail with your name and your phone number, and we'll return your call as soon as we can. And also, we wanted to let folks know that we have a long list of people who have already signed up for SLED, and you'll be added to the list in the order that your call was received. So it could take several weeks before your SLED is available for pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And, Guyana, thank you for your understanding and patience.
Okay. That's so cool. So ONC is providing SLEDs to anyone who's on the list?
Yes, if we're able to. The SLEDs were purchased with CARES Act funding, mm-hmm. but we only have a limited number of SLEDs available. So,
oh, I see. Okay.
Once they're gone, they're gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Diane.
All
Take
right.
care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. That was a flurry of calls. Yeah, there's a few things. So if you are interested in one of the sleds that ONC has from COVID funds that they secured, you know, a certain amount of sleds, you can call 545-2005. It might take up to a week for them to return your call. That's because they have a high call volume. So that's understandable. And then a couple references to a section of the Delta Discovery, Speak Your Mind, that Gloria Simeon wrote about the right to govern. The right to govern ourselves is inherent. And she reviews some of the history of tribal governance and does a really good overview of that. If you'd like to read more and see where you stand, since there's been some movement about having a regional government and then different points of view on that. So, okay, our lines are open, and you can call 543-5985, 543-2756. You can call 800-995-8954. You can also email us at radio@kyuk.org, and you can be anonymous for your calls or your radio, your email. All right, I have a anonymous email that I'm going to read now, and it goes like this. Good morning. It would be great if people using snow machines would slow down when driving by the trail by AC Quick Stop. There are children who go sledding by the hill near the BNC apartments, and sometimes there is a lot of snow machine and four-wheel traffic each day traveling at semi-fast speeds. We wouldn't want to have anything happen to our children while they're playing outside. Thanks. All right, thank you for sending us that email. And if you want to send an email, I'm happy to read it on the air for you. You can send it to radio@kyuk.org. And again, if the phone just rings and rings and rings, it means somebody's on air using that line. And as soon as they're done, the line will open up again. So you'll have to call back, or you can try one of the other numbers and get to us that way.
Are we refraining from reading this one that sounds like an ad?
No, I was going to get to that.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
I didn't know. Sorry.
Yeah, no, thank you for pointing that out. So I have another announcement. You can call Bethel Family Clinic at 543-3773 to schedule your annual medical and or dental exam. Bethel Family Clinic also offers behavioral health and telehealth services. Sliding fee discount program is available. Please ask one of our staff for more information or to obtain an application. Bethel Family Clinic looks forward to caring for you and your family. All right, we're going to go to Yvonne Waska in Bethel. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, people of the YK Delta.
Good morning.
I heard me and Stephen's name mentioned, but I think Stephen and other people that give input on our subsistence fishing, and I think KYK for that too. And but anyway, I'm still angry at they opened up river 24 hours open while we were shut down 2 weeks, and that's not right. And I find that discriminatory. and Fish and Game always police the hell out of us. And they always give us, me and my people, a criminal record when we get caught. And that's not right. Mm-hmm. Plus there's high seas interception still going on. Like I stated before, all the salmon come from the seas. And we're always, including a Yukon I heard was closed. And I don't agree with these, like that elder mentioned last week on the fishing test sites on the Kuskokwim. That elder mentioned he wouldn't fish there, I wouldn't fish there either. When the fishing game don't listen to us, they need to change their test fisheries where they drift and use these sites as window open or closed. That's not right. But anyway, to my people, I hope you got pen and paper to go to a federal sufficient meeting probably next week, March 3rd and 4th. And here's the phone number, 1-886-864-5314. And it's going to be telephonic. And the access code is 3091862. I remember last year when we were closed 2 weeks and we were giving testimony when the state fisheries took over. And me and my people together, I hope you're listening. That input was, it opened the fisheries. And in ending, I still don't get, they put us on conservation, fishing game. Like I said, they police the hell out of us and take our nets and give us the criminal record in the, and I still remember Akiak and those people that were caught when we first start to, fish on our rights here on our land and waters, and they ripped our nets up and demoralized us. And my heart goes out to those people that trying to go on our right to fish. But anyway, on conservation, fish and game, I anyway heard one word on the Donald Gold Mine. Heard I put us on conservation and the tailings pond and all the river traffic and cyanide that's going to be stored here on the Kuskokwim. If that goes all wrong, it's going to kill everything, our food source here on the river, including wildlife. I never hear one word on fishing game on that yet, on opposing the Donald Gold Mine. There's totally something wrong with that. Just like Mike said, we're getting a new Department of Interior. And I hope she comes around here and see what Fish and Game is doing to us. Good morning.
Good morning, Yvonne. Okay, we're going to go to Stephen from Neboskiak.
Yeah, Stephen Maxey.
Oh, Stephen Maxey.
Yeah, people always make mistake. I'm not Stephen Maxey, but Stephen Maxey, that's the difference. You know, I don't call much on the radio, but when I have to, I do, because people call me and said, you said good things on the radio. Hmm. So people know it's not, my last name ain't Elksy, it's Maxey. Same, you know, mm-hmm. rhyming, but yes. I have things to say about regional tribal government, I'm on the Neboskiak Tribal Council. You know, elected official and the Neboskiak Tribal Council fully supports the formation of regional tribal government. It's long needed and long overdue. Our people are always in poor condition. Hmm. We need to take good care of people, and that's one of the strong reasons why we do that. And YKHC has no right to represent our village to opposing it. You know, I saw on their letterhead, Napaskak, you know, they may represent us with health reasons and things, you know. What has to do with health, with tribal formation of tribal government, you know? We want to help our people, you know, then YKHC needs to stick with what they're supposed to do, you know, what's for health reasons. Mm-hmm. Health, keep our health. You know, right now COVID's going on. They don't need to be distracted with regional tribal government. Vaccinate, you know, help the people. Vaccinate the people. Educate them. And, you know, if they want to try and change our minds on tribal government, come to our tribal council meeting. You know, we'll give them an earful. They need to stay away from these things and do what they need to do. Health and, you know, watch out for the health and improve health care. Yeah, that's all I want to say. You know, fishing is fishing, and they say good things, but I want to take that off my chest that I'm not Stephen Alexey. I didn't call previously, and YKHC needs to stay away from tribal council businesses like this. You know, we're fed up with oppositions like that. If somebody else follows, like ABCP, you know, you're going to go against your own tribes. It's a mistake. We're moving forward. We want to go forward. It's people need our help. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Stephen Maxey. Glad you called. We're going to go to Fritz from Bethel. Hello, Fritz.
Good morning, Diane. How are you guys?
Okay, pretty good.
Yeah, right on. But yeah, thanking all the people that I called in earlier. You know, this fishing deal, you know, our elders always talk about this. And, you know, way back then, before me and you were ever born, they used to go out fishing, not targeting king salmons, because that if they did, their nets would be torn up because they were handmade. And the one of the nets that my dad explained was 15 feet long by maybe 4, sometimes 5 feet in depth. And they would go fishing, you know, with kayaks and sailboats back then. They had no motorized anything, and they'd fish and fish and fish until, because back then there was no food stamps, there was no stores. I mean, there was stores, but they'd get flour, sugar, or shortening, or whatever. But that was their sole food source way back then. But now, today, look at us. We have outboard motors, 300-foot nets and by 30, 40 feet deep. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm for the people and getting subsistence, what we need for our family. And whenever I'm on the meetings, you know, I'm trying to fight for the people that aren't there, and because our meetings are always open to the public, and there's hardly anybody at the meetings from the public. There's probably 2 or 3 people at the most average. And then, Von Waska is right. For the past several years, from Aniak on down to the mouth of Kuskokwim were always regulated, and it's always closed. And in turn, from Aniak on up to the headwaters, they have fishing opportunities 24/7. And I agree with Mr. Waska there, and it's, you know, it's not fair and it's not right, but we have to keep thinking about our children's and their children and their children for the next generation that we're going to try and, you know, teach to our children to subsistence fish. And that goes a long ways. And, you know, nowadays our children, majority of the people that are the new generations that starting to fish for their families, you know, they're out there trying to but as fish as much as they can due to the fact of the good drying weather, which is early June and mid-June. Then come July, it's no longer fishable because of the drying conditions and the house flies. And it takes a lot more effort to try and fish later in the year compared to beginning of June at the peak of the salmon. But yeah, it's then if the fish for any reason spoils, you know, we'll be responsible for wanton waste. And it's still not fair for the end user, subsistence user, and getting fined by the state. It's not the fishing game, it's the fishing wildlife troopers. Those are the federal troopers working for the state. And they're under the Fish and Wildlife Services. And, you know, these high seas fisheries, we vote for the same legislatures every year, and nothing changes. Those are the people that regulate the high seas fisheries out there. It's under the state of Alaska. So if you want change for the high seas fisheries, get Lyman Hoffman out of there. Get Tiffany Zolkowski out of there. And, you know, even the governor. Okay. So those are the proper steps for the high seas fisheries. We've been fighting the high seas fisheries since the late 80s, early 90s, when I could remember being on this State of Alaska Kuskokwim Salmon Management Working Group. So there's some ideas right there, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you, Diane.
Okay, thanks, Fritz. Appreciate your call. Grady, are we going to go ahead with these calls and not take a break, right? Yeah, we'll go to Mr. Hoffman. Okay, Robert Hoffman from Bethel, good morning. Thank you so much for waiting.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. I hear you a lot about the subsistence fishing that's going to be going on, and I heard Mary talking about forming all these working groups. It's good for that. Yeah, the more people you sit on there. But in order for business to go on, these seats on the state board and on the fishing commission, they gotta be filled. In order legally, by law, in order for operations to continue. But that's not the issue that I'm calling about. I'm calling about all these fishing commissions and fishing groups that are formed. That's good. But every time I attend one of them, all we hear about is the escapement account, the escapement count.
Mm-hmm.
And all the fishing that's going on the Kuskokwim River is due to the escapement that the state of Alaska has counted the fish that have escaped. And they make the rules and regulations and times to fish and how much to fish and how much to catch because of these escapement numbers. And you know, the problem that I'm having is everywhere on this earth, there's what we call verify. We verify this. We got to verify that. But this subsistence fishing that we're crying about is the only one that never gets to be verified on the escapement. And until then, we will have no say-so. And no matter how many commissions Mary forms or how they fill the seats, we're still going to go and listen to the state of Alaska's starting point, the escapement count. And all I wanted to say was we have corporations, we have tribes, we have AVCP, we have all these entities formed by our people, and I wish someday that they would get together and work together and find ways to find money so that we could create a second counting system just to verify the state of Alaska's escapement count. The only ones that I can tell you the truth, because of all the cries that I'm hearing, the only ones that benefit from this fishing operation is the state of Alaska and the federal government by their employment procedures. They're all working during our need of fish. All of the state and federal government employees are working, but not us, not the tribes along the Kuskokwim or the Yukon or anywhere else, due to the fact that we don't get to verify the escapement. That's all I would like to see, so that if we verify, yes, they could be right. And the reason I say this is I heard Mary talking about the elders' brilliant knowledge and all that. That just goes to show you that the state of Alaska could be wrong on the escapement count. I wish we could have our own to verify the count, so that not only that we may get to fish more, or we may have say-so in the fishing industry. Versus, and on the second point, I if we cry so much, there's a second way of doing this. Grab your 8-inch, 50-fathom net, go buy 50 gallons of gas, and head down below Tuntutuliak. It's open for 8-inch down there, and fish all you want. Down there below the line, it's open. And if that's what we have to do, seems like that's what we must do. It's an easy procedure. You either give us a second verification count, or you put in your net in the boat and head down below the line, below Tuntutuliak, and fish with your 50-fathom net and 8-inch gear, and bring home your fish. We shouldn't be too lazy about that. You know, it seems to be an easy procedure just to put your net in and go below the line and fish and bring your fish back up here.
Oh.
And but that's only two things that will help our fishing procedure. If we have verification on the state's count, so that we have some say-so.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have say-so. And if we don't, as of today, We have only one fish counting system, that's the state of Alaska. They're the ones that have say-so. And all we, the people, do is cry about what we don't get. Mm. But if we have a fishing count to verify, we may have some say-so in the matter. That's all I got, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you called. Are we going to go to Wassily from Neboskiac? Okay, Wassily.
So you're not taking a break?
Well, I guess we're going to talk to you then a break.
Okay. Talking about the Bethel YKC Tribal Health Consortium today.
Uh-huh.
Back in 2019, AFN, I made a resolution as the Village Corporation Board of Directors on Tribal Health Consortium for its private lodging for patients coming in and out of Bethel. From all over the Delta. I believe now it's about time for our directors to lobby funding for it. Bring back jobs to Bethel. I do not want to see patients with children or elders put in local Bethel small hotels without adequate running water and sewer. Regarding that 2019 resolution for HUD, another one, which I made it separate from the lodging YKG Bethel. And this HUD was passed also by the delegates at AFN in 2019, and I realized not all Native Council want this type of a housing. You pay expense, but rather than Nahasta, I don't mind getting HUD when our tribal government in villages don't give us help with Nahasta. Hmm. And Nahasta is not the only one, but there is HUD also. And I believe our first HUD housings were built back in 1990s. And a lot of our tribal members are using HUD. And I wouldn't mind getting a HUD if it is put on a table for village councils, you know, to give jobs to our villages, which they don't have a lot. You know, jobs is what natives need in villages. All right, thank you very much. That's it. Bye.
All right, thank you, Wassily. I think we're going to just skip our break this time and go right to Stephen Alexi from Neboskiac. That's Alexi.
Yeah, good morning.
Maxie.
Good afternoon.
Good
Round
afternoon.
Two.
Okay, go for it.
I regarding previous caller, not Wassily, but Robert Hoffman, Eddie Hoffman's son. You know, if Eddie Hoffman was here, he would be bawling us out and asking what the hell we're doing, you know. And when I was maybe 5 or 6, I had, you know, those elders used to gather. And if one of the tribal leaders had made a mistake, he would bawl them out. He was that kind of person where he cared so much of our region. And if there was a stranger, from what I heard, in Bethel, he would also ask some questions and tell him to get the hell on the plane and get out of there, you know. But anyways, about fishing, Fish and Wildlife takes over, and we have openings here and there. And, you know, there's combat fishing out there, especially downriver, for 12 hours. And we practically wipe out the river. From reports I hear from upriver on radio during the summer, is after the combat fishing, they go out to fish, and not even one fish is up there swimming for at least a week.
Wow.
I don't agree with openers. Maybe by section, and if in respect to that portion of the village or the the adjoining area, they shoot fish per section on a different day each. But if it opens, you know, people are hungry for fish, and they'll come out and fish. And for U.S. Fish and Wildlife to criminalize my native people is not right. Hmm. When we have asked them to take over, you know, that's why we need some sort of an agreement. Fish Commission is created by the 33 tribes. They should be able to step in and say, don't charge these people because we are being criminalized and it's going on their records as something that person did wrong, and they take their nets. A shackle of net costs $1,200. And that's one dividend that probably that one family bought, thinking of preserving food for the winter. And then easier said than done, Robert had mentioned that we should be able to hop on and go down there and fish. You know, some people struggle even to buy 6 gallons of gas with their high prices. And maybe some people don't have the luxury to afford a $10,000 four-stroke. Some people still use these two-strokes where they go to Bethel and it's 6 gallons. You know, from that village to there. Or if it's a bigger horsepower, they use 12 gallons. You know, it's a struggle for people to try to afford something that they cannot, you know, take out in advance like most people can. So, yeah, those are my 2 cents again. Good morning.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. We're going to go to John Nick. Good morning, John.
Hi, the second caller. I was listening about the fisheries.
Yeah.
The last caller, they were talking a lot about fishing game.
Yep.
One thing fishing game's got to realize, they send out these people to go do test fisheries. They don't know where they're fishing. They fish in the deepest channel where the fish don't run hardly unless you have a really deep bantam. Then they come back and say, the run is poor. They're fishing in the improper places for testing. They should go with somebody who is familiar with the river and where the fish run. That way you have an adequate number, mm-hmm. because the person who is showing them where the fish is a proper procedure where most people fish. If you fish right in the middle of the river, you better have a 500 phantom down there, because they swim deep. You know what I mean?
I think we had a caller earlier that Mary, who explained some traditional knowledge that was used along the lines of what you're saying. That turned out accurate.
Everybody's pointing toward fishing game. That's one of their faults. They fish in the wrong areas, and then they come and disclose to us that the fishers ain't running there, and, you know, the percentage ain't high enough. Yet they're fishing in the wrong, improper areas. Bring somebody along who knows the area, who knows how to fish, and then you can have probably an accurate count. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, we're going to go to Mary Patola for round two. Hello, Mary. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you, Diane. I want, you know, based on Stephen Alexi's second call, we, you know, the fish commissioners have brought up many times how strange it is that we're all fishing for subsistence at the same time. I mean, it's more congested than commercial fishing days. And, you know, wishes are for children, but of course I wish we still had commercial fishing and unlimited subsistence fishing. But, you know, really no river system is as healthy as it was. And I don't really pay much attention to fish and game indexes. What you know, what I'm influenced by are my own catches. There's much smaller fish, a lot of males.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally just, you know, having grown up fishing, I feel like there's something wrong, you know, not as healthy of a run as we want. But we do also, you know, Akiak and Mike Williams have been really vocal. In 15, they had a designated fisherman system in each of the villages where there was a certain number each village got based on population of fish. And then that tribe could figure out how to harvest that certain number. And there, it was a really low number for us. But that helped with the congestion of everybody fishing at once. But because of a lawsuit from the state of Alaska against the Federal Subsistence Board, having tribal permits like that is in limbo right now because of that court case. But we would like to work with the refuge to do that, you know, hopefully soon. I don't think it'll happen this summer. So we're just kind of stuck right now with these 12-hour times, and I think it's illegal to allow some portion of the river, you know, in federal waters to fish when other portions can't, because it has to be for all federally qualified users who live along the Kuskokwim. So
okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
The points that are made are really good, and I just want people to know that we struggle with these points every day in every village, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to find solutions.
Would you say that people in the region have more of a voice now in terms of the fishing and being able to put forward recommendations that are listened to more than in the past, maybe?
I think so. You know, and I used to think it was a racial thing with the state. You know, I just started getting to the point where I was like, you know, is this colonialism? But I don't really think so at this point with the state. I think they listen to all stakeholders with the same grain of salt and then just march forward with their path. And
mm-hmm.
and on the federal side, they are much more sensitive to traditional knowledge, working with tribes. They have that federal recognition of federal tribes. They have the government-to-government relationship, federal trust relationship. So it is different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yeah. Better, in my opinion.
Yeah. It seems like a little bit with the different, you know, the fish commissions and the representation on there. And I don't think people are as ignored, maybe, as in the past, in this region anyway.
But. Yeah, and I think broadly, you know, in academia and other places, people are recognizing, especially with global climate change, that Native people have a unique kind of holistic ecological understanding of the environment. And, you know, things like a yellow butterfly are a good index for whether Chinook are present or abundant in kind of the upper parts. And that's not something that Western science has such a detailed understanding about. And I think people are really starting to validate traditional knowledge now, and that's really huge for us.
I think so, yeah. That's interesting. Now, is that real? A yellow butterfly is a kind of an indicator?
Yeah, on the upper part. Not really on the lower part where, uh-huh. you know, Bethel. But like Charlie Wright, he's one of the characters from Yukon Men. That was one of his teachings growing up. And when there are big, you know, an abundance of yellow butterflies, that means there's an abundance of Chinook.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't know why I like that.
I love it. Yeah. All right. Thanks
Very
so much,
sweet.
Diane.
All right. Thank you, Mary.
Okay.
All right. We're going to go to Yvonne Waska. Good morning, Yvonne.
Yeah, calling again now.
Yeah.
I apologize to all the Stevens out there. I've got to throw in the last name. He just called anyway, Alexi, Stephen Alexi. It's up in the Dumpty, all the Stevens. But anyway, those federal subsistence meetings will start at 9 a.m., and I believe that's when they'll take testimony. Okay, good morning.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we've had quite a few calls, a lot on the recent discussions about tribal governance in this region and people who agree with it, some disagreement with it. Also, the Yukon-Kuskokwim Regional Advisory Council will have a meeting coming up. If you live on the Cusco and practice subsistence ways of life, your voice and input is wanted. Consider joining the meeting, which is March 3rd and 4th. You can dial in, and you can dial in at 866-864-5314. There's also a passcode, 309-1862. But you can get more information on Facebook, which will have all of that, in case you weren't able to write those numbers down. You can go to Facebook, and the Facebook page is Subsistence Alaska. Subsistence Alaska. There will be information on that Regional Advisory Council. And you can also submit Regional Advisory Council membership applications through March 12th. Individuals may apply for membership themselves, or an individual or organization may nominate someone for council membership. The application and information about the application process and the Subsistence Regional Advisory Councils are available on the Federal Subsistence Management Program website. It gives the website and phone numbers. I'm not sure. I think if you want more information on that, just call 543-0522. And ask for more information on the Regional Advisory Council and nominating people to it. Yeah, Grady.
I just want to chime in because earlier in the show, someone talked about the Mulchatna caribou herd. It is half its size it was 5 years ago, and the hunting on the animals is closed to prevent the herd. But new data shows that brucellosis, a highly contagious bacteria that causes lameness and miscarriages, has impacted the herd. You can find out more by going on to kyuk.org and navigate the menu to programs at Coffee at KYUK, or search for KYUK contagious bacteria in your favorite search engine, and you can find that article. And while I have you, I'll tell you that Coffee at KYUK next week has a great lineup. LKSD superintendent will meet with Greg. That's Kimberly Hankins on Monday. Tom Leonard from Jalista will meet with Anna Rose on Tuesday. Greg is doing a story on the Korean population in Bethel. He'll be talking with Olivia on Wednesday about that story. Mm-hmm. YKHC talking to Anna Rose on Thursday. And the erosion in Napakiak, Katie will be talking about that on Friday. So we have a full lineup of Coffee at KYUK next week.
Oh, the erosion. I didn't know what you were saying. I thought you said the erosion. Erosion in Napakiak.
Yes, I got to stop blending them together.
Yeah. Blending all your words together. All right, I have a anonymous email that I'm going to read, and it goes like this. A lot on my mind about Jalista Corporation and a few tribes trying to form a regional tribal government. What will happen when we become a regional tribal government? If Jalista wasn't for Donlin Gold, I would be okay with it because I love eating salmon. I don't know. I'm young and still learning. Okay, well, thank you for that, Anonymous. And we welcome anyone to email in, and we read your emails over the air, and you can be anonymous for that if you're kind of a shy person. And thank you, everyone, for all of your calls and the passion that I hear in those calls. People really care, and it's good to hear that. Whatever point of view you have. And also, remember, if you hear something on the air and you don't agree with it, or you think that someone is sharing something that's incorrect, you are welcome to call in and express your point of view on that and where your point of view comes from. You're welcome for that. It's kind of foggy out. Looks like warmer than normal. And I hope you have a great weekend. I think we're getting ready to wrap up. Right, Grady? Yeah.
On your cue.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, I think we're going to go ahead and sign off.
Express yourself. We'll be right back.
Support for Talkline is provided by Vitus Terminals, a local crew happy to fuel you. More information at BethelFuel.com.
You can catch Talkline every Friday at 10 a.m. to get the latest hot topics and local buzz for the YK Delta right here on KYUK 640 a.m.